On Tuesday, August 16th, Curtis Koch will lead us in the pledge.
Please repeat with me the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Curtis. All right, we'll move down to our presentation informational items. We have Library Deputy Director Lynette Mills. Lynette.
Lynette Mills, Library. I'm just here to give some information. The library is going to request from an organization called StarNet to get 2,000 pairs of solar eclipse glasses for the solar eclipses that will happen in 2023 and 2024. And this is a company that supports libraries and provides STEM programming and information for libraries. And they have a program called SEAL, which is Solar Eclipse Activities for Libraries. And through this, through a grant from, I have to find it, they provide glasses to libraries. So we would like to apply for this grant and hopefully get some eclipse glasses. In 2017, when the eclipse happened, we had quite a few requests for eclipse glasses. We didn't have them. We didn't get in on the program quite fast enough. So we're hoping to be a little bit ahead of the game this year.
Sounds so great. And so this is just kind of for our information.
Yes, for your information.
Can I also ask for our public information, because the board is well aware, library board, of an opportunity for all Davis County residents to participate in a survey of library services. Do you want to talk about that just briefly?
Yes, so we opened our survey yesterday. You can go to the library website. There is a link there to, or to our Facebook or Instagram pages. We have a link to take a survey that will kind of help us plan library services for the next 5 to 10 years. So if you get a chance, please go and take our survey. It's only about 10 questions, take you about 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's a great survey. I've already taken it, and I'm sensitive to poor surveys, so I literally like good surveys.
I actually took mine yesterday too.
It's a good survey. It's quick.
It is. It's a good one. Qualtrics is who's helping us out with it. So
yes, very good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Lynette.
Thank you.
All right, we'll go to a public comment. Opportunity for public comment. I'm asked to keep it around 3 minutes, but you know, that's whatever you need to do, Lorna.
Lorna Rosenstein, private citizen. First of all, I want to tell you all about my hopeful note. This is an activity that I'm doing at Juniper Market at Station Park this Friday. I'd like to invite anyone to come. From 12 to 7, I have 2 double booths, and all I do is ask strangers to write notes of encouragement to strangers, and then we post them on our website, and anyone can look at them for no cost. I've got 1,000 on my website now, and hope to get 1,000 this weekend. So that. And now, on to the other thing. I think all would agree that clean and safe water is not only essential to good health, but also a basic human right. It is our world's most precious commodity. In America, we have come to assume that with the turn of a tap, copious amounts of water will always flow. In Utah, our water comes from lakes, reservoirs, and rivers, wells, and springs. Ranchers and farmers have come to depend on irrigation water to maintain their livelihoods. New residential and commercial developments demand more water. Homeowners and golfers want large expanses of green grass. Yet the supply is limited. Consequently, the managing of this irreplaceable resource is extremely complex and requires careful navigation through the shallows as well as the dangerous currents that follow the politics of water. Mark Twain is quoted as saying, "Whiskey is for drinking, water is for fighting over." All that said, Scott Paxman and his team have been irreplaceable in their efforts to champion our water supplies. Scott has been in the water business for many years and been with one of Utah's most important water wholesalers, Weber Basin Water, for over 30 years. His knowledge of our complex water demands makes him a tremendous asset to not only Davis County, but to all of Utah. Thank you, Commissioner Elliott, for your service on the Weber Basin Board. I'm sure you join me in thanking Scott for all he and his Weber Basin team do to safeguard our water. Thanks for the slow the flow and flip the strip ad campaigns. Thanks for continuing to educate us on the value of water. Thank you for doing your very best to provide safe drinking water for all of us, for our babies and our grandbabies. So whatever you guys can do to say thank you, Weber Basin.
Thank you,
Weber Basin and your crew.
Yes. You know,
certainly pass that on to him and his team.
I think one other thing, too, is, and again, we get up early and go out and walk in the mornings, and we see, you know, the lawns that people are, you can tell that they're trying because it's the mixture of some green and the yellow and that. And I think I'm talking to Commissioner Elliott, maybe he can talk a little bit about this, is that everything we're being told is that people as a whole have been really, really good to cut back as far as what they're using, and that the reservoirs, I think, are holding pretty good this year, aren't they? And maybe Randy can talk a little bit from the Weber Basin knowledge on that.
So on the reservoirs, the upper basins, they've held a lot of water back on the upper basins, and so those reservoirs are still good. They did suck a lot out of Weber, not Causey. Causey's okay. It's the Willard Bay. So Willard Bay still is, lower than, I think it's around 30% capacity now. So they have sucked a lot out of that. They've held up a lot on the higher. I think their plan is this spring, fall, they'll start releasing into the Willard Bay again, start filling that up, and hope for spring to fill up those upper basins. So that's kind of the plan. But thank to all the citizens out there, too, that, listened, helped us, because that was a great help of, we didn't know if we were going to have enough water for secondary this year, and we were able to have, water to be able to do secondary enough that we could do two waterings a week instead of what we were thinking about was just the one watering a week. And so thanks to the citizens, too, for cutting back and getting some dry lawns and all that, too. So
we're taking this seriously,
yes.
And that is in large part to educating us and making the signs available and making us aware that it's not an unlimited resource. So thank you again, and thanks to Weber Basin for all their
Nope, Public Works.
Public Works.
Well, you too.
You can
but
come.
They're pretty cool, too.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move down to our business and action items. Community and Economic Development Director Kent Anderson.
Morning, Commission. Kent Anderson, Director of Community and Economic Development. Two items for your consideration today. Item number one is an approval of a contract with Intermountain Lacrosse for the fall schedule of lacrosse games and tournaments at the Legacy Event Center. Terms receivable in the amount of $11,072.50 beginning 9/17/2022 to 10/29/2022. Item number two is an approval of an amendment to the Standard Service Provider contract with the Business Enterprise Fund, State Office of Rehabilitation, a division of the Department of Workforce Services, to extend the terms of the vending machine services at the Legacy Event Center. Terms receivable for a percentage of the sales. We receive 20% of gross sales, minus the taxes, beginning 7/31/2022 to 7/31/2023.
Very good. I move approval of items one and two as presented.
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, right. Kent.
Facilities Director Lane Rose.
Morning, Commission. I have a contract before you for approval. This is with Intermountain Testing Services. This is for quality control for our construction testing and inspection services for our Agricultural Heritage Center project. This is payable in the amount of $9,885 with the terms 8/16/2022 ending 8/31/2023.
And is this the is this that person or that duty that has a special name? Do you know what I'm talking
commissioning?
About?
Commissioning?
Yes. No. This is different.
This is different. This is to make sure that our concrete is a correct PSI and slump, and to make sure compaction's done right. This is third-party testing just to make sure the contractor's doing it per spec and per engineering.
But it's mainly for the concrete?
It's mainly concrete, structural steel, rebar. Make sure it's third-party. Make sure they're doing it.
That sounds really good. Thank you, Lane. I move approval of three.
Second.
All right, motion to second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Health Director Brian Hatch.
Morning, Commission. Brian Hatch, Director of Health.
Got two items here before you, 4 and 5. Both are with the Davis School District. The first one is an amendment with our MOU with the district providing some additional funding to purchase portable HEPA filters for the classrooms, etc. This is, we're amending at $400,000. It's not $1 million, but we had before. They extended one of the federal contracts an additional school year, and so we applied to get him some additional funding to buy additional filters for those filtration systems. So that's what this is in the amount. Again, it's up to $1,096,325 beginning 8/16/22 and running through 7/31/2023, but it's an additional $400,000 to what we've already give them in a contract.
And how often do you know, Brian, those filters need to be replaced? I'm just so curious. Is that really frequent, or do they just once or twice a year?
I think the machines tell you it depends on what it's collecting in the system. So I think the machines will tell you it's time to change them out. So I don't know. It's variable would be the answer there. But it should last 6 months. I think if anybody has them in their homes, I mean, they probably are changed out every 6 months. So the second one is, again, this one is a memorandum of understanding with the school district for the COVID response team funding, payable up to $500,000 beginning 8/16/2022 and 12/31/23. This funding was, as we've shifted and they extended it one more year into schools, this was to keep on a core team at the school district, 10 people, for the remainder of the time to just handle any COVID needs that may arise. Most of which will be, if a case is identified in the school, it's just to ensure those kids are not in school, spreading it to other kids in classrooms in there. So, yep. Those are the two contracts.
Yeah, because I don't think that the school and our health department will be doing any contract tracing of at this point.
Well,
yeah.
as you know, of last Thursday, quarantining is no longer a thing. Mm. If you're exposed, basically wear a mask for 10 days, and if you get sick, isolate yourself and get tested. But
okay.
Contact tracing isn't happening, but those that still have active cases or active disease, we still have isolation that still needs to be done, or you're potentially spreading it to everyone else around you.
Thank you, Brian. I move approval of 4 and 5 as presented.
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Public Works Director Adam Wright.
Morning. Today I bring to you item number 6. This is for the approval of the project contract performance and payment bonds. This is with Bowen Construction for the Holmes Creek Fairfield Road culvert replacement project in Layton, payable in the amount of $962,522.10 beginning today, expire a year from now.
8/16/2023 is the end of it. Okay. Any question about that? Sometimes
I
do.
Make a motion, we approve it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Sheriff's Office, Chief Deputy Susan Pulson.
Hey, and hurry and do it before it goes up anymore. Yeah.
Morning.
Item number 7 is an application to be placed on the tow rotation for the Davis County Dispatch Center with QR Towing LLC and DeWall and Sons Towing Inc. That's beginning 7/1/22 and goes through June 30th of 2023. Item number 8 is a SCRAM program liability waiver for participation to be in the secure continuous remote alcohol monitoring program. That's participants 1, 2, and 3, and that's receivable in varied amounts based on tests used and monitoring fees. Begins on the final signature and goes through their program until they are no longer participating in the program.
By court order. Very good. Thank you, Susan. I move approval of 7 and 8 as presented.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Moving on to our consent items.
Yes, I move approval of regular commission meeting minutes, which have been well done and we have reviewed, for June 21st, 2022, July 12th, 2022, July 19th, 2022, and then the special commission meeting minutes from July 27th, 2022.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I move we recess to our Board of Equalization.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, commissioners. On your property tax register for August 16th, 2022, under auditor adjustments, under appeals, you have a report with various appeals listed, totaling $630,373. You have one withdrawn appeal. Under abatements, you have a report with various abatements listed and recommended denial. Under corrections, you have nine veteran exemption tax abatements for the year 2021. And finally, under assessor adjustments, under corrections, assessor-initiated corrections, you have a report with various corrections for a total of $506,081.
Very good. I move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. I move we reconvene commission meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Opportunity for commissioner comments. Neil Curtis.
No comment. Thank you.
Commissioner Stevenson?
No comments.
Lorene?
Yes. We were invited to go do a tour of the aqueduct at Weber Basin Conservancy. And very interesting tour. So even though there's all of this effort to conserve water and behave like we're the second driest state in the nation, which we've probably always been, this one was focused actually on emergency preparedness and a concern that the aqueduct crosses the fault line six times. You might have known that, but I did not know that. And so there was a tour. They had a lot of folks there to be able to see that and contemplate how to mitigate the risk when there is a major earthquake. So there were a lot of people there from all the different organizations, and including leadership and leadership at the state level. And so very interesting. We got to see a scar, something, there's a...
Where washout was?
Where you see the evidence in the earth of how much the earth has moved over time. It's a scarp. That's what it is. Not a scar, but a scarp. Ah, see, Adam knows I got that right. I'd never heard the term, but actually got to see that. And so it's super interesting and something to, they're working on federal funding and other funding so that they can redo that aqueduct so that it will only cross once. So anyway, just again, another thing about preparedness and trying to mitigate the risks at all levels, starting at household levels. We have a lot of folks who are paying attention to things, so that's good. And good leadership by the Weber Basin Conservancy, adding to what Lorna said.
Very good. All right. I don't have any comments, so this meeting's adjourned.